Well, thanks for that introduction. I am not Shannon Hastings, I am David Irvin. I'm one of the core software developers on CA Grid. I'm actually the data services architect. And I'm filling in for Shannon Hastings today. He couldn't make it, but what we're going to be talking about is how we develop secure grid services using the Introduce Toolkit, which is a major piece of the CA Grid tooling that allows us to develop strongly typed and secure grid services. So fundamentally, what is Introduce? It's a framework that allows fast and easy creation of Globus and standards compliant grid services. So fundamentally, building Globus grid services is hard. There's a lot of classes, WSDLs, Java files, WSDD documents that have to be written, and they're very specific and very tedious to get right. So what Introduce kind of does is abstracts that away from the service developer and hides that complexity, so it gives you eventually a single concise Java class that's just the skeleton for your API that you can implement. This allows domain experts to implement what they know, their domain, and leaves implementing grid services to grid services experts. So in CA Grid, all our services are strongly typed, and that means that they use published data types from open public standards repositories like the Cancer Data Model, Cancer Data Standards Repository, or the CADSR, and the Global Model Exchange, or GME. The security infrastructure of Dorian, Grid Grouper, and CSM can also be used to secure your service. Introduce generated services advertise themselves in the index service to facilitate discovery. So, let's see. The Introduce GUI just gives you a single, simple way of creating a service skeleton. It drives the automatic code generation engine of Introduce and produces completely WSRF compliant grid service, and that provides for security, advertisement discovery, and an unboxed and client and server API. It gives the service developer tools to add, remove, modify, and import methods from an existing WSDL, as well as create service context and resources. It also adds ways in which the service developer can control the security of both the service, the methods, and the resources themselves. So the requirements for Introduce. The first one that we identified is it should be utilizing best practice layered grid service architecture. The next major feature that Introduce should be providing for is enabling development of strongly typed services, which I just talked about, using published data types, things that are easily accessible, things that are recognized standards. It should also generate meaningful object-oriented APIs, so rather than the document literal API that you might see from like Access's WSDL or Java tool, you actually see the interface that you wanted, that you coded. It should be customizable with extensions and plugins. I'll get to that in a few minutes. And it should also allow for implementation of secure services, providing customizable service, method, and resource level security. So to begin addressing these requirements, Introduce generated services are built up of layers of components, both specification and implementation based. So implementation begins with the Globus Core Toolkit for Web Services Resource Framework, WSRF. And from there, service metadata, which both semantically describes the operations and identifies the operator of the service, is added. On top of the service itself, the security layer is added, which can control access to the service's operations and context, as well as provide for transport level security when information moves in and out of the service over the wire. Since the service is based on specifications such as GSI, WS security, and WS addressing, the client doesn't actually need to know any of the implementation details of the service. It's basically an implementation detail that everything is written in Java. The client can simply speak the protocol. So while we supply a Java client API, one could conceivably write something in .NET, using the SOAP UI tool, Perl, Python, any number of these things have already been done, and communicate effectively with a Introduce generated grid service. This is just sort of another approach to that same diagram. And if you notice in the bottom center, the business logic block is the only portion of this entire service architecture that the developer is responsible for. You simply have to know your domain logic to be able to implement a grid service. Another requirement was the strongly typed interface. And we do this by deriving XML schema from places like the GME or any other data standards repository service. And this facilitates strongly typed services using data types that are publicly accessible. The schemas themselves get copied into the service's directory structure, and they're referenced from the generated WSDL document, which a client can pull and then use to generate their own API or at least understand what the data types are. Additionally, we provide service metadata, and this leverages the Globus JNDI implementation. Service metadata is provided as resource properties on the base service singleton resource. So that's a lot of words, but basically it means that every service provides a standard set of metadata that identifies the operations and tells you semantically what they mean, what sort of inputs they take, what sort of outputs they're going to give you. These resource properties can be registered to the index service, which then makes them discoverable by searching. Which brings to the next point, index service registration. So this is the Globus MDS index service, and it provides a point that we can register both static and dynamic service information. This can be discovered at runtime, so a client naive to the grid could come to the index service and say, find me all the services that know something about the data type gene, and discover services from data services that can return that data type to analytical services that can process that data type, a whole host of features. Finally, we have a client API, an object-oriented client API. So what Globus and Axis provide is a document literal API. So you have a single input and a single output type that's kind of confusing to operate with. What Introduce gives you is a specialized client that builds on top of that and unboxes those. So if a method were to take both a string and a date and return an integer, that's exactly what you would see in your client API. Finally, the security architecture enables configuration for both the whole service, individual methods, or both. The service metadata describes to the client what type of authentication and authorization are required. So upfront, the client already knows, hey, the service is protected by whatever the method is, and it can determine how to send credentials to it, or if it can even gain access to it before it actually makes that call to the service and gets rejected. So what's happening here in this diagram is in step one, at the top left here, the grid user gets a new instance of the client and invokes my secure operation. What that does on the client side is it first tries to configure the client side port type. In the process of doing this, we get to step three, which calls out to the get service security metadata operation on the service. The service can retrieve that information from a document and return it to the client. The client will cache this information and uses it to configure itself so it can communicate securely. It can then turn around in step seven and actually get around to invoking my secure operation, at which point the service's authentication and authorization kicks in and determines if the client is able to access that operation or not. Introduce also has enhanced resource pattern support. My slide comes back. Which automatically creates a service backed by service context for easy use using a factory pattern. So the code is created when the service developer specifies any operation which returns a strongly typed endpoint reference, or EPR, of another service context. Introduce additionally supplies for extension framework. And what this extension framework does is it keeps each of the pieces very well isolated from one another so they can be easily installed and removed and upgraded. And it provides facilities to extend both, like for service extensions, for example, data services is a specialization of standard services, so it has a service extension. Types discovery extensions, which extend the ways in which Introduce can pull in new data types. So instead of always talking to the global model exchange, perhaps there's some institutional schema repository that you'd like to gain your types from. You can add an extension to Introduce to do that. Authorization extensions give a pluggable way to manage authorization on services. And finally, simply graphical extensions to the toolkit itself might provide a different way of looking at things than we originally anticipated. They just kind of modify the way the GUI might appear. So this kind of highlights how the Introduce service creation and modification chain proceeds. And the blue balls on there highlight where extensions can insert themselves into the creation and modification process. So an extension might insert itself at the point that immediately after a service is created. So this is before any code has been generated, but it gives a chance for the service extension to add operations, copy jars, schemas, what have you. It can also be to the modification process at both at the beginning and the end of that. So before introduces, actually synchronize the service with your model and immediately following. Introduce also supplies a way to update itself. It has a built-in software updater, which end users can use to either upgrade the toolkit itself or find new extensions to it and install those as well. And that's maintained in a software repository at software.cagrid.org. It's publicly browsable, but it's fairly meaningless unless you're a piece of software reading all the XML yourself. It also supplies for service migrations. So every time a new release of CA Grid comes out, Introduce supplies facilities that can upgrade from the previous version to the newest one. So for example, if you have a 1.0 CA Grid service, you can simply open it with Introduce. It'll ask you, this service is an older version than the current one, would you like to upgrade it? If you choose yes, Introduce will go through and add the new libraries, copy in the new WSDLs, and modify your service so that it's compliant with the new specification that we have. So just quick recap, Introduce generated services are based on Globus Toolkit 4, they're WSRF capable. It utilizes compositional inheritance, sort of operation importing rather than sort of a hackish non-standard port type extension that you might see for like a truly object-oriented hierarchy. Utilizes JNDI for registration and configuration, both for the server-side configuration properties and for the resources and the service metadata. And it provides client and service-side wrappers that implement the service designer's interface as opposed to the document literal interface generated by Access. It provides metadata registration to the index service for discoverability. And finally, service security metadata and its access operation enables programmatic bootstrapping of connectivity configuration. So the next couple slides just kind of cover how you might move an existing API to the grid. So this is an API that's been developed outside of the context of the grid, but you wish to expose it to a wider audience. So we're going to use Introduce to describe this service and generate a grid service. And that involves basically just identifying what the namespace of the WSDL should be, the package name in which the Java classes will be generated, and its location on the file system. We can use Introduce to locate the schemas that represent our model. We then describe the service's layout, its operations, how the security constraints should be set on it, and of course the default service metadata. Once that's been specified, Introduce can go through that model and generate all the code, WSDL, WSTD, and configuration files required to generate your grid service. And at that point, Introduce steps back, and it's up to the service developer to connect that final single Java class that I mentioned to the existing API. So once that's been done, the service can then be deployed, and it'll automatically register itself with the index service so it can be discovered in the grid. And there's the index service doing that. So the creation GUI, like I said, simply asks for four things: the directory in which the service should be produced, the name of the service, the package name, and the namespace. This is just basic information to all grid services. Additionally, at the creation time, you can specify advanced options such as the resource security options, whether it should be using WS lifetime, property access, and what extensions you'd like to add. For example, in this picture, the CA Grid transfer extension has been added. So what Introduce does is it's separated into two parts, really. There's the Introduce the GUI and Introduce the engine. And they both write to and pull from this single configuration file that tells the engine how it should be generating your service. Most of this is done with JET templates or custom code generation facilities that we've written, and this shells out all the required Java code and the WSDLs and everything else required to make your grid service. So what you see here is the final package structure that you might see with a Introduce generated grid service if you were to open this up in Eclipse, for example. And the part that's highlighting here in green is what's actually managed by the Introduce toolkit. So it actually generates all this code for you, and you don't have to touch any of it. The part highlighting now in gray is what's given to you by Globus and Access. It's mostly beans generated from your schemas, stubs that bind to your WSDLs, things of that nature. And finally, highlighting in red, this one single class is the skeleton implementation that you would have to fill in to connect your grid API to your existing API. This is somewhat of a closer view of that section, and it just describes like where the metadata documents are, what the WSDL files are. We have an ant build file for every service, so immediately out of the box it can be built using the ant tool from Apache. So all of these services have very many moving configurable parts that control things like advertisement, discovery, how the service is invoked, security for authentication and authorization, and finally stateful resources. And Introduce Toolkit can keep all these things managed for you so you don't have to deal with all that complexity yourself. Say you want to make a change to your grid service, Introduce provides facilities for that as well. The modification interface can add and remove data types, operations, service properties, and entire service contexts, and can control the security of things for both service level, method level, and resource level. So the Introduce description document is that primary input to the engine, and you can either craft that by hand or using obviously the Introduce GUI itself, or perhaps the object-oriented API that manages the Introduce document as well. And this drives the synchronization engine that can read the changes that are in that document versus what's already in your service and generate and remove the right Java code in the right places. So what this gives us is a stateful web service. And the services generated by Introduce utilize the Web Services Resource Framework specification, and that's what gives us our statefulness. So a WS resource pairs a stateless web service with a stateful resource instance in which state variables are kept. So the way this sort of works is there's a resource home class that both manages and creates instances of resources, and they're keyed by a unique value. That key can become part of an endpoint reference that's returned to the client, so the client can then reference which state it's manipulating when it makes subsequent calls to the grid service. Real simple example of this would be if your service implemented WS lifetime, this get termination time operation is as simple as saying get resource home, get the address resourced, and return the termination time. It's simply one line of Java because it's all managed for you behind the scenes by the Web Resources framework. Service authorization is done using policy decision provider change, or PDPs, and these can be built up from an authorization policy for the service's resources. The lowest level of access protection is done at the resource itself. The next highest is per method, and finally the whole service can have security applied to it. Introduce allows configuration of these chains on the service methods and on the resource. The generated code provides a place that's stubbed out inside the resource in which you can hook these chains in. Securing a resource is a little bit tricky because resources are created dynamically, therefore the PDP chains have to be built dynamically at the same time. Introduce adds some common basic utilities which can be used to protect these resources. For example, a resource can be configured to be accessible only to the client that created it. We call this caller only. So resources created in this way are private to the caller, and any subsequent calls they make will reference this resource, but no one else will be able to see this or manipulate this resource. The security descriptor document configures the Globus PDP chains for the service and the method security options. Introduce can create this and manage it for you, or you can edit it yourself, and it's placed in the services Etsy directory. So Introduce provides a PDP system which is pluggable and extendable. Like many other things in Introduce are, we can't foresee all possible ends, therefore we provide means to extend this thing. So CAGrid itself already includes several built-in extensions which can interact with external resources such as Grid Grouper and CSM. More information on the Introduce toolkit, CAGrid, and the security is obviously available. We have all this well documented online at www.cagrid.org, and there you can find things like tutorials that'll walk you through creating services, secure services, data services, documentation on all the APIs, how to drive the Introduce toolkit, as well as things like our security infrastructure. Examples, which are great to follow if you're starting to get involved with CAGrid, software downloads, obviously, access to the support forums managed by the CAGrid Knowledge Center, and infinitely more information as well. So with that, I'll open the floor for any questions. Everything perfectly clear.
So the GUI configurations, are those all implemented then as Eclipse plugins, or
Introduce itself is not an Eclipse plugin, it's a standalone application. It provides some functionality, like you could kind of think of it like as an Eclipse for the grid, sort of. It's somewhat more limited than Eclipse, obviously, in its scope. But it provides a graphical interface in which you can add and remove operations directly in the GUI. You can push data types in and out of there. Were you asking more about the extension part of it, or the application part of it?
I'm kind of curious if
So from the extension point of view, say for example, there's a data services service extension to introduce. So if you wanted to create a standard SiaGrid data service, rather than having to import the WSDL yourself for the standard query operation and put the data types where they go and copy the libraries where they go, you can simply add that extension at creation time. There's that drop down that I mentioned we had SiaGrid transfer was on the picture. You could just as easily select data services and it would do all that automatically for you without you having to touch anything. All you have to do is say use this extension and it runs.
It also will, when you're done generating your service, it the project that creates and puts project that you can import into and then develop. So that's why you see a lot of the screenshots showing the development environment. So it'll write out the project, the class, all the class path stuff that you need. You just import it.
So you typically would generate your initial skills outside of the IT.
Correct.
Right.
We do generate
right. We just generate the Eclipse dot class path and dot project files for you by default.
You can import it as a project.
Yeah, but I mean,
right. There's no requirement to use Eclipse. You could obviously use Emacs, whatever, if you wanted to.
If you want to modify the service interface after that, you just open up Introduce, modify it, click save, refresh the project in Eclipse, and you know you can change
it. Yep.
Also, since it uses AND, any IDE which supports AND.
Yep, that's accurate.
This gentleman has a question.
Are there any plans to create either an AND or Daemon plugin such that script, what we might do manually, introduce so that I can part on them?
That's an excellent question. So, sure. He's asking if there's any plans to generate like either an AND or a Maven accessibility option to introduce in which you could basically generate a grid service. You know, without actually interacting with the Introduce toolkit itself. Is that
correct?
Okay. I'm going to phrase it this way, yes and no. So we don't have any plans to do anything with Maven in particular, and the ANT side of things is sort of incidental to the rest of the build process in that we generate, obviously, ANT scripts to build your service, and Introduce can be run from ANT. Because Introduce is separated into both the engine and the GUI, what you could do is generate the Introduce service description document, like an introduce.xml file, and pass that to the Introduce engine. It's I think there might be an example of this on the siagrid.org site, if you check that out. But basically, you could just hand create or pre-create somehow that service description document, pass it to the Introduce engine, and let it do the rest of the work, and it would just generate that service for you. Are there any plans to migrate it to the latest Globus toolkit? In the future, we haven't set a firm date for this yet. It's next year sometime. SiaGrid will be looking at a major refresh. We're not real sure what we're going to call it yet, but that'll move to obviously the latest WS specifications, including some of the things that Globus does as well. While perhaps not exactly their implementation of it, we will be moving to the latest specifications rather than, you know, Globus 4.0 obviously includes some draft specs. We're going to be moving to the latest ones,
so
to the finals.
Question. We're working closely with the Globus team to actually use more modern. So we want to replace Access with Globus. So we're actually working with them now to come up with a sort of the next generation Globus. Probably
questions? Okay, thank you, David.
Okay.